1,700 years ago, huge portions of our most ancient heritage were relegated to the esoteric traditions, the mystery schools, and the sacred orders of their time. This occurred in the year 325 AD. In the year 325 AD, Constantine put together a council, became known as the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century. And during that time, this council recommended that the redundant, mystical, loosely organized body of information that we now know as our Western Bible, that body of information be made more concise. So the council sifted through all of this information, these many books and the texts. Some of them were not even bound. Some of them were just loose leaf collections on papyrus rolls. They discovered that some appeared so mystical that they didn't understand them, and they assumed that if they didn't, no one else in the future ever would, so they took them out. They assumed that some of the information was so empowering to the people of that time that it really didn't serve them, so they were removed. At least 25 books were taken from our biblical text. We'll explore these in just a few moments. By the recommendation of this council, additionally, 20 other supporting documents. Now, these weren't necessarily biblical texts. They were references that the biblical text would bring in every once in a while. So at least 45 books that I know of were taken from our history, and the ones that were left were rearranged and condensed into what we today call our Western biblical text. Among the books that were lost from our biblical texts, the Gospel of the Birth of Mary. What a fascinating book. Now it has been recovered, it has been translated, and is available in Western texts now. The Gospel of the Birth of Mary shows a story of the mother of Jesus of Nazareth and her mother. It shows that Mary, Jesus' mother, her mother was 81 years old when she gave birth to Mary, and that she'd been barren all of her life. And that both Mary's mother and Mary were schooled in the esoteric traditions of the Essenes, of which Jesus of Nazareth also became a master in the Essene traditions. The infancy of the life of Jesus. This is a fascinating book detailing a young prophet in the early years of his life coming to terms with the powers and the abilities that he's come into this world to explore. And what we're reminded of in this book is that every human comes into the world with these abilities, and that we deny them and that we forget them early in our lives and live the consequences of that throughout life. The difference between us and Jesus at this time in his life was that he didn't forget. He was encouraged to develop and honor these abilities by parents who had been schooled in the traditions that supported these. The book of Nicodemus, the books of Barnabas, the letters of Herod and Pilate. For me, this is one of the most interesting, one of the most fascinating books that was taken out of our text, because it gives a very different view of Pontius Pilate and King Herod at the time of the crucifixion. To paraphrase and to make a long story very short, essentially what these letters say, Pilate wrote to Herod immediately after the crucifixion and said, King Herod, I believe we just made a big mistake. Herod was trying to distance himself from the crucifixion. And he wrote back to Pilate and said, what do you mean, we? He said, I didn't make the choice to crucify this man. The state of Rome had no interest in his crucifixion. That was done on a local level. And it's a very human insight into what these men went through, realizing what they had done and the role that they were about to play in history. It's a fascinating book. We lost that 1,700 years ago. The infancy of Jesus, as we witness him coming to terms with his power, he appears much more human, and we can relate to that in our humanness. Rather than believing that this man came into this world fully aware of his powers and just began going out and working with them. The book of the visions of the prophets, there's an entire book of visions, it's called the Book of Visions, that is filled with prophetic visions of what this time in history, our time, and they refer to it as the close of the cycle. In those days, these things will come about. These things will be known. And these are just some of the actual biblical books. The supporting texts are just as fascinating. There were books representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Each of them had their own book, the book of Levi, the book of Daniel. The books of Adam and Eve, there was the first and the second book of Adam and Eve, giving tremendous insight into the seeding of their bodies and their consciousness into this world at this time in history. That was taken out. Perhaps one of the most telling is a book that is known as The Secrets of the Prophet Enoch. This is actually the supporting document, The Secrets of Enoch. This is different than the modern-day Keys of Enoch many people refer to, although the Keys of Enoch reference specific passages, and those passages became triggers for the author of the Keys of Enoch. This book is not actually the Keys of Enoch. Enoch was a prophet before the time of Christ. He was taken from his time ahead of our time, had the opportunity to witness what would become the people of this world, taken back to his world, and he dictated to his son Methuselah so that this message would be preserved for all of history. And he saw very clearly that at this time in history, there would be a great change. And he identified the change. He said, for example, that the weather patterns would shift and the crops wouldn't grow in their seasons, that rains would cease in some parts of the world and become very great in other parts of the world. He also talks about the earth becoming inclined on her axis during this time in history. And it's something geologists have struggled with in the past, how the poles have shifted, the magnetic poles, whether or not the geographic poles have shifted as well. The Book of Enoch goes on to share many possibilities of our inner technology and the role that we play at this time in history. It's at this time in history that all the secrets of heaven are at last divulged to the children of the earth. Through those secrets, they make the choices in terms of how they will live their lives from this point forward. So these are just some examples of some of these lost supporting books that we have today. During the 12th century, the books that were left, now these are the ones that have been condensed and rearranged, they were then poorly translated into languages of the West, into English at that time, further confusing a mystery of our purpose, our possibility, and even our relationship to one another in our world. So at very best, the way we interpret our world, our potential role within this world is incomplete without these texts. Is it possible, I ask this question now, is it possible that the very basis of the way we've built our society and culture, our science, technology, language, religion, even the way that we relate and love one another, is it possible it's all based in an incomplete body of information? If so, how would our lives be different if we had this information? The lost mode of prayer is part of this that was lost 1,700 years ago. The lost mode of prayer, elements of are spread throughout the Aramaic translations of these texts.